So welcome back to TNT's Will podcast, the official companion podcast of the TNT series Will. And another of our in-depth discussions about the latest episode of the show with its creators. I'm your host, Michael Wood, and with me is Craig Pearce, creator and executive producer. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Michael. Wonderful to be here.
So episode 6, Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Yes. And
the show begins with a fantastic sense of the vitality of Elizabethan London, the street life, a huge riot. Mm. And they were a riotous people, I think, weren't they, Craig?
They were. There's lots of reports of there being riots, especially around the theatre areas, which is one of the reasons the authorities gave for wanting to close down these dens of iniquity and violence and uproar. And what were called the apprentices back then were very prone to riot. Evidently. Yeah. And, you know, they'll call the apprentices. Basically, they were the young punks, you know, and they go out, they want to have fun, you know, with their girls. They'd sometimes get drunk and take things a little bit too far.
You described them as punks, Craig.
Now, yes.
I've got to ask you this, because I'm sure all of us, we watched the series, and it's fabulously Elizabethan, and yet there's something about it which isn't quite Elizabethan.
Yes.
The reality is kind of pushed. There is
Absolutely.
A kind of punk
aesthetic.
Visual to the even you know to the crowd in the auditorium.
Yes,
just tell us about how you went for the look.
Well, you know the thing is with historical pieces, it's always someone's idea of history because no one was there and no one was writing about the and the people that were there weren't really writing about the common people and they weren't recording them and they weren't painting them. So, you know, every period piece is influenced by the period you live in, for a start. So history is always someone's interpretation of it, of course. Theatre back then was kind of like rock and roll. It was this completely revolutionary form of popular entertainment. You know, it was brand new and there was 3,000 people crammed into these theatres. And so we wanted to represent the energy of that on screen. And one of the ways we did that was draw on inspiration from the punk rock movement of the 70s in London, when this kind of angry, vital, energetic form of music came along and ultimately changed culture and changed the world. So what we did with the look and of the show is we took what was real or what we know of as real in the Elizabethan costumes, like, you know, the skinny leg with the stockings and the, you know, things like hoodies became cowls. And also that sort of, you know, shading around the eyes, which was a thing that was done at court sometimes. We took those things and we exaggerated them where they fitted into the aesthetic that we were trying to create so that our world felt both historically real but immediate and connected. Because sometimes I think visually, if you have your lead character in tights, it's just such a visual cue that seems so silly to a modern eye that you just keep thinking about the tights and about, got really skinny legs, you know, and it just cuts you off from the humanity of the character. So a lot of what we try and do, it's actually not to make the audience notice things. It's about trying to take them into the world so actually they don't notice things. So they just feel emotionally embedded into the world.
I quite like the slippage, actually, and I'm sure all viewers do, you know, that kind of Will and Alice could be walking down the street today.
Yeah.
Even though Lord Hunsdon looks like Lord Hunsdon, but
absolutely.
But that mix is rather tantalising, isn't it? And
yes.
the look of the audience, I mean, some of them have actually got punk Mohicans, haven't they?
They do.
Splashes of
yes.
bright green and bright
yes.
red.
Yes.
But it works as a kind of
yeah.
stirring up of ideas and energy, doesn't it?
I think the only reason it works is because it's based on a huge amount of research. It's not a fantasy world. And so we've researched what was there and either taken things and extended them, exaggerated them, or just in their feel, we've kind of created something that has an emotional reality to it. So again, getting back to the fact that theatre was like rock and roll and the pit, you know, they called it the pit, you know, it's like a mosh pit. And so using that mosh pit kind of analogy, when you put someone in a mohawk, it kind of just works because of the energy and the feeling of the scene and the way the camera's moving and what people are saying and the way the story is playing out. But I think the other thing is the sort of game that we're playing is we're saying, okay, Shakespeare wrote characters 400 years ago that are as alive and real today and recognizable today as they were back then. So let's make our characters back then recognizable and real and visceral. Don't treat it like a museum piece. So constantly flowing back and forward between today and 400 years ago is this idea of the fact that people don't change. So yes, Will and Alice could be walking down the street today, and they are of today. As people, they absolutely are of today, and we know they are because when you see a play like Romeo and Juliet, those characters are so recognizable. They could be from today.
Mm-hmm. Just keeping our eye on the audience for a minute. Mm. I mean, the other interesting thing was I'm sure a lot of viewers will go, was it really like that? There's quite a few black people in Elizabethan London.
Absolutely.
Tell us about that.
Well, we thought it was really important to try and create a world that was both real to the time and also representative of our time as well. And again, when we researched, we found that indeed there were a lot of black characters and people living in London at that time. And even right back to the times of Henry VIII, you know, there was a very famous trumpeter at court who was black. And of course, Shakespeare has black characters in his plays. And as we know, he was always really writing about the present day, even though he was setting something in Venice or ancient Greece or Egypt. So, and we just know from historical reports that there were black people. And again, that I think is a demonstration of how the interpretation of history is only ever seen through the lens of the present. So for so long, we've just interpreted unthinkingly Elizabethan world as this very monoculture, this very white culture. And I think, you know, that's because of the racism of our recent times.
I mean, Shakespeare's plays are full of references, aren't they, to the new world that's coming into London, you know, from the Americas and Peru. And he talks about Eskimos, doesn't he, Inuit.
Absolutely.
And he talks about India and,
yes,
you know,
yes.
They are consuming these fantastic images of new worlds, aren't they? I mean, he may even have had an affair with a black woman.
That's right.
Are we allowed to? Do we know what's going to be in the next series? have we already met her in Emilia Bassanio?
Bassanio, yes. Well, we do meet her in episode 6. And, of course, Shakespeare wrote or is thought to have written approximately half of his sonnets to someone who's been dubbed the Dark Lady. And it's thought that Emilia Bassanio may have been the Dark Lady, and she was one of the most famous women in London and one of the most desired women in London. And she was the mistress of Lord Hunsdon early on when she was very young. But she went on to become the first, if you want to term it, professional female poet in England. She actually wrote poetry and had it published and sold it. And she was really a proto-feminist, and she wrote a very long piece about men, you profess to love us. Why are you such pricks to us, if I can say that word? Or men, you profess to love us. Why are you so terrible to us? Mm-hmm. And she was a formidable woman and a very interesting woman. And yes, we meet her in episode 6.
Yeah.
Will has a long friendship, relationship, journey with her in the first season. And there'll be more to come. So stay tuned.
Can't wait, to be honest, Craig. Okay, last thing on episode 6.
Yes.
And that is that the family have become important now.
Mm,
and in episode 5, we've seen the kids running, jaw dropped and open-eyed,
yes,
through the streets of London. We've seen Anne's discomfort at her husband's clear passion for young Alice.
Mm.
And this is developed in episode 6. And I really just wanted to look at the moment when, towards the end of episode 6, when Anne decides to take the kids back to Stratford.
Mm.
And I find it a very moving scene, actually.
Mm.
We don't know that such a scene happened, but we do know that Shakespeare effectively lived a separate life. Mm. I mean, a diarist of the time says that he used to go home twice a year or something like that.
Yeah.
So they were separated.
Mm.
And I'll tell you what came for me in watching the show was that what it really underlined was the difference between provincial Stratford with its kind of sleepy small-town ways and the electric rush of London.
Yes, yes. It would have been, you know, like living in New York City and the tiniest little village on the peaks of the Andes. You know, that's how different it would have been. And for someone like Anne, London would have been both an exciting place and a terrifying place. But really, I think the point of that is the fact that Will is a young man who is going to go on to be one of the most influential writers of all time. And how do you keep up with that if you're that man's partner? And if all you know is Sleepy Stratford, how do you connect with him if, you know, you probably don't have much education and your primary job is to raise three children? How do you get inside that partner's head? And as we see by the end of episode six, it's impossible. And they don't leave hating each other. What's sadder is they actually leave loving each other but not being able to be together.
Realizing that their lives have gone different directions.
Exactly.
And she realizes that, and he's 8 years younger than her, isn't he? She realizes that he is a genius.
Yeah.
And that she can't stand in the way of that.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And she's got a life to live in Stratford. She can manage the affairs of the household and all that stuff. Yeah.
Exactly.
I found that very plausible, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And really, it's a modern choice. And also back then, you know, love and marriage and partnership as today aren't always the same thing. And I'm sure there was love there in some measure and romantic love in some measure in the beginning of their relationship. But they do have three kids now and there is an age difference and a life journey difference. And they agree to be partners in, you know, parenthood and the business of being a family, but no longer romantic partners.
Thanks a lot, Craig. That was great. As always, wonderful to have you here, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Thanks, Michael.
Join me next Tuesday for an all-new episode of TNT's Will Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to TNT's Will Podcast in the Apple Podcasts app, and please leave a rating and a review while you're there. And remember, Will is all new Mondays at 9 on TNT. I'm Michael Wood. Thanks for listening.